Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
This week marks, would you believe it, the fifth anniversary of that first lockdown during the COVID-19 pandemic. And while for many of us it's consigned to the past, some are still living with the effects of it today. Well, a new study from the Mary Immaculate College on the emotional and behavioural effects of the pandemic on young school children has been launched today, with one teacher describing her class as the most challenging I have had in the 27 years I've been teaching. And that is some statement. To tell us more about the report, I'm joined by one of its authors, Dr. Suzanne Egan from Mary Immaculate College. Suzanne, you're very welcome.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
I find this fascinating because we all know lockdown and the pandemic affected all of us in various ways. But for children who, and you're talking about five-year-olds, isn't that right? This year's
That's infants, right. So yeah. This year's junior infants class would be aged between 4 and 6, so very young children.
Okay. So they weren't, they were just about born, isn't that it? So you would have thought that they'd be oblivious to the effects of the lockdown.
Yeah, and that was one of the questions that we had when we started the study. Would there be any effects? So as babies, were they really affected, or might they have been affected in some regard? So that's what we wanted to find out from their teachers, and what you can see with some of the findings that are reported there today, that there does seem to be some potential negative effects. And again, you might think, well, they were just babies, they didn't know any better. Is there really effects? But actually, there was a lot of changes in the family home at the time that they may have been affected by.
Yeah, for sure. And people can text us to 51551. You're saying over 80% of teachers report significantly more emotional and behavioural issues. I mean, that's emphatic.
Yeah, yes, it is definitely emphatic. So we had a wide mix of teachers take part in the study. So they were from urban schools and suburban schools and rural schools and all sorts of schools, different ranges of teaching experiences, some with, you know, many, many years of teaching experiences with junior infants. So some of the numbers speak for themselves, that the majority of teachers are indicating that there are these difficulties. So in terms of some of these emotional difficulties that they highlighted, they said children seem to have a bit more separation anxiety from their parents when they come into school, and they're sort of less emotional ready in starting school this year than classes they might have taught before the pandemic.
Okay. Why would some children fare better than others? Because I'm sure there's a mix as well. Although you're saying there's a clear pattern when it comes to anxiety and separation anxiety and emotional regulation. But why do some children fare better than others who come from the same cohort?
So again, the teacher's views here, just to remember, it is based on sort of their views of their whole class. So it's not about any one child, for example. It's just to get a snapshot of their opinions of whether things are the same or better or worse. But we do see them indicating that they have more children in their classes with these difficulties, and things are a bit worse than before the pandemic. As to why some children might have these difficulties and others don't, it potentially depends on their current home life, their current family circumstances. So we know that circumstances can be very different for different families and in different areas. Again, some children, if you think of the babies during the pandemic, they'll have had very different experiences as well. We saw this actually with some data that we collected early on in the pandemic at the start of lockdown with parents. Some parents actually had quite good experiences. They said, there's less commuting, I'm getting to spend more time with the children, more time with my baby, there's more time for my partner to bond because the commute isn't as long. So there were some positives actually during the lockdown. But for a lot of families, they highlighted negatives too. So some parents pointed out in data that we've collected previously that, you know, their one-year-old was having to spend a lot more time on screens because they were spending, they had to work full-time from home. They had to make that shift really quickly. Some mothers highlighted that they were finding it very difficult not having that social network around them. So there was less support with breastfeeding. Grandparents couldn't come to visit. So there was real difficulties there for a lot of families during the lockdown period and during the restrictions.
And that was huge. We can think back to it now for very good reasons. We want to keep the state, and that was the expert advice at the time. Don't come into close social contact with people. You could spread the virus and so on, keep people alive, those who were vulnerable. But it had a huge impact, didn't it? And when you're saying now, when you're saying to us, and we all knew it would have an impact, it was so kind of abnormal. But when you're saying to us now, the teachers of years of experience are saying, I've never seen a junior class, junior infants class, with as much anxiety. I mean, what impact does that have then in terms of teaching the class?
Yeah, so the teachers really highlighted a number of issues that are there. So for the children, they highlighted some children with anxiety, maybe crying more during the day. They also highlighted speech and language difficulties. So it makes communication with some of the children a bit more difficult. And even for the children to communicate, you know, their needs, or if they're having difficulties during the day, to be able to ask for help. And the teachers highlighted other difficulties as well. So in some of the comments that we got from teachers, other teachers said they were, you know, spending more time supporting children with these sorts of things. So it potentially delays the start of the academic curriculum as well.
Wow.
Although those first few months in a junior infant class are very important in terms of settling the children in. And the teachers are really cognizant of that, that, you know, they have appropriate expectations for the children in those first few months. And they're working on kind of social, emotional and play-based supports for them.
I'm going to ask you in a second, as teachers or as an educational system, how you get around that then, or what you need to do. But let me read this text to you, to 51551.
Yeah.
My daughter was 6 months old when COVID lockdown began. Between 1 to 2 years, her creche closed 3 times. People wore masks, playgrounds were closed, social anxiety was high, no sleep over at grandparents' house, repeated nasal swab, which actually I forgot as well. So, I mean, this listener pointing out how many things were totally different and upended in a normal, compared to normal life, let's say. No wonder we have anxiety.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget about them because we've moved on. It has been 5 years, and I imagine we'll be reminded a little bit more this week about some of the things that we did, like wiping down the shopping. So some parents reported at the time that, you know, their small children aged 1 or 2 or 3 were telling them to wipe down the shopping when they were playing shop with them and playing doctors and nurses, and their teddy bears were dying. And this was coming from very small children at the time. Mm. So all of these sorts of effects, you know, potentially can carry on. And so that's why it's so important that we get the views of these experienced teachers that have, you know, been teaching our children year in, year out, and can see signs. So it's important that we pay attention to their views.
Yeah. A listener in Mead says practically all of these children and their mothers were saved from infection with SARS-CoV-2. As were their teachers, which is a point we made in fairness, but it's the impact, the psychological, I suppose, or emotional or behavioural impact that that necessity had on these children. So how do you support them, Suzanne? Go on, Terry.
Sorry, I was going to say, even leaving aside the impact on the children, we can't forget about the impact on the parents. So we know that parents found it really stressful at the time without their social networks as new parents. But also, if you think, people lost their jobs, people had to transition really quickly to working from at home. So there was great uncertainty at the time. So they were worrying about themselves, worrying about their young children, maybe worrying about older parents. So there was a lot of stress on the parents at the time, you know, and that may affect parenting and support
and
as well.
People lost loved ones as well, of course, more fundamentally.
So it was difficult circumstances for whole families.
Come here, in terms of, as an education system, the question I was going to ask you, so we have this problem, we have this behavioural or emotional problem with junior infants now because of lockdown and so on. What do you think we need to do to support them?
Yeah, so the teachers pointed to some things that they are doing themselves already, but I do think we need some more support. So the teachers are saying that, you know, they're trying to have more regular movement in the infant's classroom, more lots of play-based learning, which would already be part of the system. Some teachers are really working on fostering social and emotional skills alongside the academics to support the overall growth. But some of the issues that the teachers have identified aren't just the children taking a bit of time to settle into school or a bit of time to make that transition. We know it's a major step for all young children as they transition from preschool into school. And, you know, schools and teachers and early years educators do their best, parents too, to try and make that transition as easy as possible for children. But some of the issues the teachers have highlighted around speech and language delays, around potentially fine motor control, maybe not being quite what it was, or attentional difficulties. So things like that perhaps need more targeted interventions or more targeted supports, perhaps from speech and language therapists or educational psychologists or occupational therapists. So I think really we need to see those additional supports and resources being available in schools or to families, and, you know, that waiting lists would be appropriate so that children and families can get early interventions where they're needed. And again, that teachers are supported in the classroom.
It's very interesting you say that, because you could easily blithely say, look, this will work itself out over time, but perhaps not if there isn't that focused help. Mary says, as a teacher, I found that in special education, we're dealing more with social anxiety and children not regulated than literacy and numeracy, she says. And a primary teacher texts to say, finally, my school is experiencing more school avoidance among sixth class students who were in first class 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Not sure if this is coincidence or not, says that teacher. What do you reckon, finally?
Yeah, so actually some of the teachers, when they responded to the survey, they said, yes, we're seeing some issues with the junior infant classes, but actually we're seeing even more issues higher up. So the children that maybe missed out on junior infants or senior infants or first class, they're now in fourth, fifth and sixth class. And some of the teachers actually sort of wrote in an open comment at the end of, you know, we need to look at the older children in the school as well, not even just the junior infants. There are issues elsewhere, so that may be something we turn our attention to.
Do you know what? In the last little while, last year or two, I've had so many conversations with people saying, ah, it's different since COVID. And I think in this educational context, you've certainly put research behind that sentiment that so many people have expressed across society. Dr. Suzanne Egan from Mary Immaculate College, thank you very much indeed.
Now, our reporter Una Kelly has been to La Paz in Guatemala, where climate change has pushed people further into poverty and they don't have enough to feed their children. She joins us next.